Can hear me breathing before I said anything. Morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you here today. Thank you for joining us here at Rocky Mountain Alliance Church. Special welcome to anyone who's visiting. Special welcome to our young folk from Camp Caroline. Thanks for joining us in worshiping our Lord and Savior. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dave Baker. I'm one of the elders here at Rocky Alliance Church. And this morning we'll be continuing our study in wisdom literature. And I have the pleasure of bringing you the word out of Proverbs 3. Before we delve into the word, allow me to pray before we jump in. Father God, we praise your name as we've been doing all morning. We thank you so much for your word, that we can go to your word, and I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to discern it. And God, for the next few minutes, I just pray that we would be able to put aside any distractions from this world, that we would hear from you. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, that it would not be my words, but it would be yours, Lord, that would be heard here today. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. So as I said, we're going to be in Proverbs 3. After hearing Carson tell that story, I could probably just sit down right now, because it essentially is exactly what we're going to be reading about today. So as I said, we'll be in Proverbs 3. We're going to be focusing on the first 12 verses of Proverbs 3. And as you get there, we preach out of the ESV here. And the title of this section in the ESV is Trust in the Lord with All Your Heart. So you can imagine where we're going with this. So starting in verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. So as I prepared this week, I came across the following story on trust. So a man was being chased by a grizzly through the wilderness, if you can imagine, when he came upon a cliff edge. He knew that he couldn't outrun the bear that was closing on him quickly, but spotted a gnarled tree growing out of the side of the cliff a short ways down. He decided to jump down to the tree and hang on until the bear lost interest and left. But as he was hanging from the tree, it began to slowly pull out of the cleft in the rock it was growing out of. And he knew he didn't have much time. Looking up to heaven, he cried out, "Dear God, please help me. Please save me from this terrible predicament. I'll do anything you ask." To his surprise, an audible voice from heaven responded with, "You'll do anything I ask?" The man cried out, "I will do anything. Please save me." The voice replied, "There's only one way to save you, but it will take courage and faith. Can you do what I ask? Do you trust me?" The man replied, "Please, God, tell me what I can do. I'll do whatever you say." The voice from heaven said, "If you trust me, let go of the tree." After a long silence, the man looked down at the massive drop below him and then looked up and yelled, "Is there anyone else up there?" So this little story might give us a laugh, right? But if we examine the moral behind it, what I'd like to keep in mind today is how often we might find it hard to fully put our trust in the Lord with all of our heart. So we'll walk through the text and examine each section independently. So starting with verses 1 and 2 states, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." So as we've been learning over the last few weeks, we have to remember what Proverbs are and what they are not. It is very common to find in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to see it throughout our passages today, the syntax of a command, "Do not forget my teaching," followed by an outcome of obeying this command. "Years of life and peace will be added to you." But you will recall, as some of our other teachers have already mentioned, the Proverbs are Hebrew wisdom literature, and as such are not promises as we commonly think of them. So the outcome in the second part of the stanza to obeying the commands found in the first part of the stanza are probable outcomes as a result of how God has designed the world in which we find ourselves. These realities are baked into the cake of creation, if you will. Therefore, what is this telling us? What is this telling us is if we heed wise counsel, then we will have an easier time of this very short time we have on earth. That doesn't mean that our lives will be perfect or we'll live forever on this planet, on this earth. But there is a way of skillfully living in this world that is good and right and wise. So seek out and heed the sound, infallible advice or teaching encountered within Scripture, for there are blessings to be found in it if we're able to do that. So verses 3 and 4 follow the same structure. "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of man." While this has the same structure, this section, I find, is harder to understand. So I'd like to look at some of the words found within it. Steadfast love is the Hebrew word chesed, which is often translated as kindness, while faithfulness can also be translated as truth or reliability. So this reads, "Let not kindness and reliability or truth forsake you, but bind them around your neck, write them on your heart, or make this what characterizes you." Meaning, as you interact in this world, be known as someone who is reliable. Your yes means yes and your no means no. And as someone who always walks in truth but is kind. And what will be the result of that? You will find favor and success with God and man, as it says. Again, not a promise, but a natural outcome to carrying ourselves with integrity in this world. If we are people of integrity, then we will have an easier time with other people, but also God will be pleased with us. We see this in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, and they're going to be up on the screen here. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear." This is the penultimate human problem, isn't it? Our sins separate us from our holy God, which is ultimately why we need a Savior. So this brings us to the beautiful heart of our passage today, verses 5 through 8. Now I'm sure some of you can recite from memory, and maybe recall seeing first on your grandmother's wall, perhaps adorned on a cross-stitch wall hanging or a doily. But I think there's something wonderful about the corporate recitation of Scripture that is maybe lost from our modern church life. So if you would indulge me, I'd like to give that a try today. It might bring you back to Sunday school classes of yore. So let's recite verses 5 through 8, and again, they're going to be up on the screen for us. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Thank you for indulging me in that. In the past few weeks, we've been laying the groundwork of understanding that wisdom is only found in the fear of the Lord. And we see it here again today. But today we're going to be learning how practically that can look. That fear of the Lord should create in us an awe of him who made us. If we truly believe that God is God and we are not, as Brian showed us from Ecclesiastes a few weeks ago, then we must put our trust in him and not in the world or our own understanding of it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. This word acknowledge, it's the Hebrew word yada, which is the verb to know. So this reads, in all your ways, know him, and you will remain on the straight path, which can be intuitively contrasted with the crooked path of the wicked or the way of folly. Therefore, if we desire to walk well in this life, then we must know him. Him being Jesus, the Spirit, God, the Father. We're going to come back to this section. But first, let's shift gears a little bit, as our text has a couple practical examples of how this trust in the Lord can manifest itself in our lives. So verses 9 and 10 state, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, I doubt many of us have vats at home. But a vat would have been used for the fermentation and or storage of wine. I think we can see the implication here. This is a historical representation of wealth, considering most people would have been involved in the enterprises of agriculture or winemaking. What this is telling us is there is a practical wisdom in honoring the Lord through our tithing. 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we must ask ourselves, do we always give cheerfully? Out of a desire to honor the Lord or out of obligation? Or maybe not at all. Again, this is not a promise that if we give, we'll be blessed with prosperity, but is suggesting if we give out of a desire to honor the Lord and his church, then our hearts will be aligned properly. This proper attitude of giving recognizes that everything we have is from the Lord, and if we hold our stuff loosely, then even if we have little or we lose much, whatever we have will be enough. It will be plenty. I'd also challenge us for how we spend our time. Do we freely give out of the abundance of our time to the Lord, to the church, or to time spent in the Word and prayer? We as a church are going through a period of transition right now, and as a result, some of the programs and ministries in our church may have to look a bit different going forward. That is, unless everyone in this body finds a way to get involved. So I would encourage you to be praying how God will use you to bless this body, this church, his church, during this time. We've already had some people asking how they can provide assistance, and it's so much appreciated, and we thank you for taking that step. Lastly, verses 11 and 12 state, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof or correction. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. This final instruction is a familiar refrain that we often see in the Bible. As any parent knows, we discipline those we love. Why? Because we want the best for them. Our Father God knows what is best for us. And sometimes that may be discipline for our sins. We must decide that God's ways are best, and sometimes discipline points us back to trusting in Him who has the best for us. As we see in Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. The old adage, spare the rod, spoil the child, of course, it was born out of this verse, but interestingly, not found in the Bible. Clearly, there are two paths available to us as parents. The path of love involves discipline, while the path of hatred, or indifference, if you will, does not. There is a message in this for all of us. Since we may not all be parents, but we are all sons or daughters. We recognize that discipline from our earthly parents is good for us, then how much more so from our Holy Father in heaven? So do not be weary of correction, but seek it out, knowing that even though we continuously do wrong, we have a Father in heaven who delights in us. So, what are we to do with this? It may feel like this passage jumps from one subject to another without any common thread linking each of them. And you'd be forgiven if you've been thinking that. But allow me to summarize in an attempt to show the flow of the passage. At the beginning, we have Solomon imploring his son and us by extension to hold fast to his God-given wisdom and to walk always with integrity. We will do this not on our own strength or wisdom, but through our trust in God, which is found in knowing Him and should be born out of a healthy fear of Him. Our passage then shows us two practical ways in which we can trust the Lord by honoring Him with our finances and trusting His correction. The thread that ties all of these together is the right placement of our trust in God. We can do none of these things without first grounding ourselves in an awe-inducing trust or faith in the Lord. The question we have to ask ourselves is, why do we find it so hard to fully put our trust in Him, to give ourselves fully to His will in our lives? Why do we find it hard to trust that God has the best for us when our lives aren't going the way we planned? Why do we find it hard when God's word doesn't line up with what feels right or what our culture says is right? It may help to recognize that our ability to trust is very often skewed or even damaged by our lived experience attempting to trust in people. If you find yourself struggling with trusting in the Lord, perhaps you are viewing God through the lens of human experience, or through the lens of the inherent untrustworthiness of sinful people like you and me. If you find yourself struggling with trusting in the Lord, if you find that you struggled with trusting God, then I would encourage you to seek out evidence within the Word that shows how reliable God has proven Himself to be. Start in Genesis, reading through the account of Abraham. Abraham trusted in God to the point of being willing to sacrifice his own son. But God proved trustworthy through all of that, didn't He? He provided the sacrifice in Abraham's story, and again in all of our stories through Jesus. Numbers 23:19 shows us this, and I've chosen the NIV translation. It'll be up on the screen. I think the language is a bit more clear. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? We know the answer to those questions, don't we? For any of us who know God. Now, if you spend enough time with me, the only thing I can promise you is that I will eventually disappoint you. But if we maintain a right view of God, then he will never disappoint you. In order to attempt to illustrate this, I'm hoping the following short story will help. So imagine a ship's mate challenging his chaplain with the question, "How is it that you are always talking to my men about Jesus Christ? Have you ever seen him?" The chaplain's reply was, "No, I never have." The ship's mate then asked, "Then how can you tell a man to trust in someone you have never seen? I can't see any sense in that." "Well," replied the chaplain, "when you head for a place of refuge in a storm, what sense is there in telling your men to let go the anchor when they cannot see the ground? On what principle do you trust your ship and your life to ground you have never seen and can never see?" "Oh," said the mate, "we go by our charts." "Exactly," replied the chaplain, holding up his Bible. "And I too go by a chart, and it is an infallible one, while yours is not. It tells me of the only sure ground of my salvation, the atoning work of Christ upon the cross. My faith, like your anchor, takes hold of this unseen but real ground and allows me to ride out the storms of life in peace and safety." This is what we're trusting in, folks. A sometimes unseen but very real ground. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Sometimes we can become numb to the truth found in oft-quoted scriptures like this, but if you can trust the Lord and his word and acknowledge that his ways are right, then it will go well with us and we will find comfort in his wisdom. If you think about some of the more contentious issues that are facing us in today's culture, many of these issues being lies from the pit, we can find refreshment or comfort in the truths found within God's word. This refreshment comes from not having to justify out of our own understanding why, say, a man is a man or a woman is a woman. Why it is wrong for our government to encourage the killing of babies in the womb or the elderly and infirm through MAID programs. Because we are made in the image of God, human life is precious beyond all measure, and God designed us, men and women, the way he did for a reason. We don't have to justify these things through our own wisdom and understanding. We can rest in the truths found in what God says on these and other matters. If we recognize that he is sovereign and we are not, he is wise and we are not. Jesus exemplified this trust in the Father as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to being arrested and ultimately crucified, where he uttered those words, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Even knowing he would be taking on the wrath of God for the sins of all mankind, Jesus was still willing to accept it. Why? Because he trusted the Father. We as believers are called to that level of sacrificial love for our brothers and sisters. As we see from Jesus' words in John 15:12-14, which again will be up on the screen, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Folks, we are Jesus' friends, and he laid down his life for each of you. Now, I will acknowledge that as we've been going through our summer series on wisdom literature, because of the nature of this topic, our typical focus on Jesus and the gospel has not always been in the forefront. We meet with our preaching cohort every Tuesday morning and have often talked about being careful not to force the gospel into every bit of scripture. However, today's passage, I think, lends itself well to a clear connection to the gospel. The ultimate proof of trusting the Lord with all our heart can be found by examining our relationship with Jesus. We can more easily trust in God when we understand that Jesus came to this earth with the purpose of dying on the cross and rising from the dead on the third day, so also we would be made righteous in the eyes of a holy God. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross paid for our sins, and because this is true, we can trust that a Father that would go so far as sacrificing his own Son for us is someone worthy of our trust. For those of us here today that know Jesus, we know that he laid down his life for us, his friends, as we've just read in John 15. And as a result, we are obliged to trust in him with all our hearts. Acknowledge or know him through time spent in the word and prayer and in a healthy fear of the Lord. Do not lean on our own understanding. But if you are here today and you don't know my friend Jesus, then please come talk to me or anyone else in here that you know that would call Jesus their Lord and ask us how you can put your trust in him with all your heart. It will be the greatest decision of your life. And while life on this earth may not get easier, it will be much more fulfilling as you work towards orienting how you live with the alignment of how God designed this world of his. As Bob put it a couple weeks ago, it is an orientating of our lives along the grain of God's creation. In closing, I would like to leave you with a quote from a lady named Bethany Hamilton. If that name isn't familiar, then allow me to explain. When Bethany was 13 years old, she was surfing off Kauai when a 14-foot tiger shark attacked her and bit off her left arm below her shoulder. Bethany survived the attack and is mostly known for her resilience, fighting spirit, and the 2012 film entitled Soul Surfer. Sorry, it's 2011 actually, which characterizes her life and her faith. I bring her up because of her faith and the trust that she has maintained in God's plan for her life, even through major tragedy. So on the screen is a quote from Bethany. I have this thought every second of my life, why me? Not negatively, like why did this terrible thing happen to me, but more like why did God choose me and what does he have in mind for me? We would do well to ask ourselves this same question. What does God have in mind for me? And I would just add, today, tomorrow, through suffering, here at this church, what does God have in mind for me? Part of trusting in the Lord with all your heart is recognizing that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6. And whatever we are struggling with today, whatever trials we are dealing with today, put your trust in the Lord by knowing him, turning from evil, and accepting that the atoning work of Christ on the cross is complete, and all we must do is put our trust or faith in him. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you humbly, and we just ask that you would help us with this. You would help us to put our trust in you. I pray for any who don't know you, Lord. I pray that they would hear the gospel, hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and that it would resonate with their heart. God, I pray for our body. I pray for this church. I thank you so much for this church, and I pray that, Lord, your will would be done here, and that you would be glorified through everything that we do in this body. That is our desire, Lord. And we just ask for your help in trusting you, trusting your ways are better than our ways. We just ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.